Call this meeting to order. This is the regular session of the Mayor and Council of the City of Bisbee, County of Cochise, and State of Arizona to be held on Tuesday, January 15th, 2019, at 7 p.m. in the Cochise County Board of Supervisors Hearing Room, 1415 Melody Lane, Building G, Bisbee, Arizona. Ms. Coronado, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Gabe Lindstrom.
Here.
Councilmember Joni Giacomino.
Here.
Councilmember Bill Higgins.
Here.
Mayor David M. Smith.
Here.
Councilmember Leslie Johns.
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hanson.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Anna Klein. City Staff Robert Smith. City Manager Ashley Coronado. City Clerk Carrie Bagley. Finance Director Daniel Duchon. Personnel Director Dwayne Wallace. Operations Manager Albert E. Chavez. Police Chief George Castillo. Fire Chief Christine Roberts. City Attorney.
Thank you, ma'am, for our invocation tonight. I would like a moment of silence. Since we met last 1 week ago today, there's been 5 police officers that have been killed in the line of duty already this year, and I'd like us to remember their families, them, as well as our first responders in Bisbee. Please join me in a moment of silence. Thank you. Please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Welcome. I have 2 things under Mayor's announcements. One is that most likely this will be our next to the last meeting in this particular facility. We possibly will be meeting the first meeting in February, and then after that we will be in the Senior Center. So I'm letting you know ahead of time so you can plan your go left instead of straight. And the second is I'd like Chief Achave to come up, and he has an announcement.
Thank you, Mayor, Council members of the public. It's brings me great pleasure to introduce to you, and I'll ask her to come up, Ms. Dolores. We call her Dee Liberto. She is our new City of Bisbee Animal Control Officer. So we'd like to welcome her.
Hi, very nice to meet you.
She's this is her first week with us, and she's been spending time getting to know the police station policies, getting things ready, and has already been out handling a few calls for service. And we're glad to have her. That's all right.
she seems a little destructive, though.
Yes, yes. We are so glad to have her join us at the police department. She's been a very great fit for us, and everybody's getting along well. And we wish her the best of luck as in her new position with us. And we want the public to know once, and you know, want everybody to know that we have a ACO again, and she is handling calls for service. I do want to remind everybody she is in a part-time capacity. It's not a 40-hour-a-week position. So be patient with us, and we're still kind of getting familiar with things. So, but it's a good thing for us, and we're very, very happy to welcome her aboard.
So, thanks, Chief, and welcome. We'll move on to call of the public, and we have Mr. John Sky. Welcome, Mr. Sky.
Thank you.
My name's John Sky. I just wanted to come and talk to everyone tonight about this situation that's going on with Ken Budge. As far as I understand, he asked to be resubmitted onto the Design Review Board. He's been on for many years. As far as I can, from what I see, he's got great work ethic. He always makes his meetings. He's very knowledgeable about the historic district. He's actually been a pretty good mentor to me and some of the new members on the committee to try to teach us the rules and procedures, so on and so forth. I just don't understand why he would not be put on for another term, given that he's just got voted on as chairman. I think last month we voted him chair because he's one of the most highly qualified people on the board. So that's pretty much it. And I would like, if there's any way to change that around, I'd like to see that happen.
Thank you, Mr. Sky.
Thank you.
Moving on to general business, accounts payable.
I move that we pay accounts payable in the amount of $265,319.09.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I second.
Thank you. Discussion? Yes, ma'am.
On page 2, under contract services, it's for the, it says P&Z community meeting, $2,500. Is that one meeting, or is that, it's for the...
Ms. Bagley, is that something you could answer, please? Did everybody hear the question? Okay. No? Okay, there's a expenditure for $2,500, and it's indicated P&Z meeting, is that correct?
Commission meeting, mm-hmm.
And the question is, why? What's that about?
That's the monthly fee to the county for I think they have two meetings a month. So it's $2,500 a month for the two meetings, paid to the county to run those meetings.
$2,500 for two meetings? Okay. Thank you. And then on page 4, there's, again, under fire expense for Cochise County use of building. But it's $12,600. I thought we were paying $4,500 a month.
from what I understand, the person with the county that was doing the billing left, and so there was a 3-month gap, and we reminded them that we hadn't received a bill, so they had somebody send us a bill for those 3 months that they had missed.
Yes, ma'am, and it's $4,200 a month.
Mm. Okay, well, that's over $4,000. Okay. And then the next question I have is on page 5, propane for the senior center. Is this, it's for $2,441.01. Is that 1 month billing or is that several months?
Was that propane you said?
It's to
fill the tank.
It's over $2,000 to fill it up once?
I believe so. It's $2,000. Well, I'm not really sure, but if it's it's a 1,000-gallon tank, that you are right there.
Okay. Yeah, that's the normal amount when they fill it up in the wintertime.
Okay. And then on page 7, there was tree removal and cleanup for $2,200. Is that just one tree, or is that multiple, and where?
You want Ms. Bagley to remain?
I can't remember which one that was for.
Yes, that is from one tree removal. There are some trees that are too big for us to do in-house, and we usually contract with Mile High Enterprises because he's the best one around. I believe this one was in Warren. I'm not specifically sure. I can't remember. There's been a few trees that we've done and then one he did, but I don't want to mix up and tell you the wrong one.
Okay. Yep. Anything else, ma'am?
Just a quick question. I know that on a lot of these, either, you know, things are being redacted or, you know, not putting names in, and if that's, you know, the way it's going to be, that's fine. The only thing I have a question on is uniforms. On the fire department uniforms, it listed all of their names and the amounts, yet on garage and sanitation and sewer, it just says uniforms and lists the amount. So I'm just wondering why.
Sure.
Some names are listed and some aren't.
Both the police and fire, each firefighter officer, they get a set amount for the year for their uniforms, and we keep a spreadsheet to track, you know, that they don't overspend that allowance. So it's easier for us to go back and look up the AP report. If we forgot somebody or didn't enter somebody in on that spreadsheet, it's easier for us to refer to a report and go through and make sure we've got everybody's uniform allowance on the spreadsheet so they don't exceed the amount.
Okay, and I understand that. I'm just wondering why for sanitation and sewer and all of the other ones, they're not being listed by name.
That's not so much the uniform allowance. It's more like the cleaning and maintenance of their uniform. So it's they send out their uniforms to a service that does,
do they go to a cleaning service, Ms. Bagley?
They do.
In bulk, and then it comes back, and you pay the bill, so you don't know whose uniform has been cleaned and which one it actually is attributed to. Thank you.
Unless it's a boot allowance, and, you know, that's just $100 a year per employee, so that's easier to track than multiple purchases.
Okay, yeah, because on some of these, they're $100 or $73, some are $50. That's kind of expensive to clean.
I think that's probably the boot allowance, and it's just a one-time, you know, once a year, $100 for boots, so it's not as hard to track each person, their $100 boot allowance.
Okay, thank you.
And the tree removal was for one tree, Campbell Street, it looks like.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else?
Yes. I have just a couple things for me.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. The Merle's Auto Supply, is that on page 11? Is that something that we could have done at Bisbee Auto Parts?
Which department's in there?
It's under city operating expense.
But it's still
Bisbee Bus Fund.
Bisbee Bus.
It's under Merle's Automotive. I'm just wondering, is that something that we could have done locally?
I believe they buy a lot of used parts from them for, I'm not sure. I would have to find out from somebody that runs a bus on what they purchased.
And then
it looks like an alternator and.
We don't know.
Maybe Dwayne can answer.
We buy a majority of the parts completely, totally from Bisbee Auto Supply. Merle's usually has more specific things either for the bus that we can't get locally, or because we're down on buses, we need to get up quicker than Bisbee Auto Supply can. It just depends on the availability of the parts.
So it's stuff that we can't get.
Yeah, correct.
And then on, okay, let's get to that. And then on, just going through the there's just so much stuff for Office Depot, and I'm just wondering, has anybody been down to the local Office Supply to talk about it at all since we talked about it a year and a half ago? I'm just wondering.
I have.
And they can't get stuff like rubber bands and binders and staplers and fire folders?
I believe that it's been indicated that the price couldn't be matched and the quantities can't be kept in stock. And so if they're needed, they're needed, and they can be, they arrive overnight.
When did you go?
Probably one of the first times you brought it up. So it's been probably at least 6 months, maybe longer.
So as Joni brought up last time, do we have a system like that we can, because it just seems like, I mean, rubber bands, $2.50, it just seems like we purchase this stuff on a whim. And do we have like a supply cabinet where we can go and just order in bulk and then maybe check out as we need it?
Every department has their own office supply budget, so they normally order their own office supplies.
Maybe that's something we can start to work on as a central, you know, like a school where they have a central area where they check stuff out. Because this just seems, when you go through it, it just seems crazy to me.
It could be something that in a new building or a different building that we might have some storage space to do that. Anything else, sir? Ms. Giacomino?
On page 5, it has under garage, and there's three different charges for Southwest Gas. One says 25%, 25%, 50%, and they're 500 about $520 worth of gas. What are they for? They seem to be the same address.
I can see the bills for the garage are split between sanitation, streets, and the garage. So that's why it's split 25%, 25%, and 50% to those three different departments.
So they are on the same address?
They're the same. The bill goes to that address, and then it's split between those three different departments that use the garage.
Okay, so we're paying $600 a month for gas and the garage.
Well, I mean, in the wintertime, the bill does go up. It's a lot smaller, a lot less in the summertime. We can always, you know, we do scan all the utility bills, and if you want to see them, we can send them to you. There's graphs that show the change in usage.
I was just curious about the split. My other question is, again, as you mentioned, it's cold, it's winter, and West Vista at Hoxton and Lower East have a total of
$320. West Vista, that West Vista hosting is also the one that we fill the water truck with.
Okay.
And the Vactor truck when it's working on this side of the pit. That side of the pit we fill up at the pump house.
So what's the water truck used for in the winter? What do you do with the water?
All sorts of stuff, especially for like if we're doing prep for road or clean or especially with after the snow. Or anytime we run the street sweeper, we run the water truck as well.
What about Lower Vista, Lower East Vista?
That's the one that is used for the farmer's market. And I'm going to be working on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they don't pay?
No. They were supposed to pay a couple years ago, and they have not. And I've sat down with the city manager, and we're gonna deal with that problem.
Okay. That's all. Thank you.
Yep.
Any other comments? We have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor of paying accounts payable, signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion carried unanimously. We're going to move to the consent agenda, possibly the longest in history. There's item A through double C. Item A, approval of the reappointment of Richard Soto to the Airport Advisory Commission. B, approval of the reappointment of Karen Schumacher to the Bisbee Arts Commission. C, approval of the reappointment of Sharon Stetter to the Bisbee Arts Commission. D, approval of the reappointment of Dennis Nelson to the Board of Adjustment with a waiver for residency requirement. E, approval of the reappointment of Halise Dupnik to the Bisbee Sustainability Commission. F, approval of the reappointment of Michael McPartland to the Design Review Board. G, approval of the reappointment of Carrie Gustafson to the IBISB Committee. H, approval of the reappointment of Robert Page to the IBISB Committee. I, approval of the reappointment of Cinda Combs to the Library Advisory Board. J, approval of the reappointment of Jennifer Johnson to the Library Advisory Board with a waiver for length of service. K, approval of the reappointment of Susan Matthews to the Library Advisory Board. L, approval of the reappointment of Kaylin Cummins to the Park and Recreation Committee with a waiver for length of service. M, approval of the reappointment of William Bagby to the Public Safety Retirement Personnel Board with a waiver for length of service. N, approval of the resignation of Eric Farner from the Airport Advisory Commission. O, approval of the resignation of Raymond Fraze from the Airport Advisory Commission. P, approval of the resignation of John Crow from the Appeals Board, PMZ, and the Design Review Board. Q, approval of the resignation of Alan Hosey from the Appeals Board, PMZ. R, approval of the resignation of Poe Dismuk from the Bisbee Arts Commission. S, approval of the resignation of Kenneth Wallace from the Civil Service Commission. T, approval of the resignation of Todd Conklin from the Evergreen Cemetery Committee. U, approval of the resignation of Stanley Stern from the Municipal Property Corporation. V, approval of the resignation of Judith Anderson from the Planning and Zoning Commission. W, approval of the appointment of Frank Davis to the Design Review Board. X, approval of the appointment of Nanette Slusser to the Design Review Board. Y, approval of the appointment of Donna Wertel to the Library Advisory Board with a waiver for residency requirement. Z, approval of the appointment of Lawrence Stone to the Streets and Infrastructure Committee. AA, approval of the special event liquor license application submitted by the Friends of Warren Ballpark for an event to be held at Warren Ballpark, located at 300 Rupee Avenue, Bisbee, Arizona, on Saturday, April 6, 2019, and Sunday, April 7, 2019, from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m., both days, Judith Anderson, applicant. Double B, approval of the park facility and right-of-way use permit for the use of Subway Street for the Buzzard Bash Party to be held on Saturday, March 9, 2019, from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. Double C, approval of the park facility and right-of-way use permit for the use of city's streets beginning at the Iron Man down to the post office on Main Street for the return of the Turkey Vultures Parade to be held on Saturday, March 9, 2019 from 4 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Do we have a motion? First of all, do we have any of these items that you wish pulled for further discussion?
Yes, I'd like to pull item X, the application of Nanette Slusser to the Design Review Board for discussion.
Any other?
I'd like to pull W, which is the approval of Frank Davis to the Design Review Board also.
All right.
I'd like to pull L and M just because I have questions on it.
That is, okay, so we have L pulled, M pulled, X pulled, and W pulled. Okay, do we have a motion for the remainders?
I move that we approve the consent agenda items A through K and N through V and Z through double C.
Thank you.
Y through double C.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion. We have a second. Ms. Coronado?
Councilmember Lindstrom?
Aye.
Councilmember Giacomino?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Councilmember Johns?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. We will now go to item L, approval of the reappointment of Kaylin Cummins to the Park and Recreation Committee with a waiver for length of service.
I just had a question on what's the purpose of a waiver?
The waiver of service is that according to the city code, you can only have three terms, consecutive terms on a committee.
Okay, so in that regard, I'd like to, you know, for both of these, L and M, if we could maybe, I mean, I have nothing against either of these two people, but maybe we could put them up on advertising maybe for a couple of weeks to see if there's any interested parties before offering waivers. Just to maybe flip things around sometimes after a long length of stay.
Ms. Coronado, do you have the count on parks by any chance?
The count of members?
No, do you have the count? Is parks full?
I want to say it is.
According to the website, it's full.
Is it, sir?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, then we need, do we have further discussion?
Again, it has nothing to do with the people. I just think, you know, rather than immediately offering lengths of stay, let's see if anybody's interested.
The Observer very often, I think probably even quarterly, puts the puts in there what the openings are. So yes,
right,
we do.
I've never seen them, that's what
yes, ma'am, it okay. Definitely is in there.
Mayor.
Yes.
I've just got a kind of a follow-up question on Mr. Lindstrom's. As far as the Public Safety Retirement Board, doesn't it have to be somebody who was in public safety?
No.
Or, oh, okay.
There are several civilian members and several police and several fire, and then the mayor makes up the board.
Okay. He's just been, I just figured it had to be a retired public safety.
No.
Okay.
No. Happens that it is, but it doesn't
right.
have to be. Yes.
So would I motion it to?
You do make a motion if that's, I would suggest that you do both of them if that's what you wish, since they're both, may I assume that it's the same question on both?
Yeah, it's the same thing. They're both lengths of services. So I move that we, rather than extending a length of service agreement, advertise for 2 weeks prior to see if there's any interested parties.
Would you give us some guidance as to how you want that advertised?
Well, we can advertise on the website. We can advertise on social media, newspaper.
Okay.
I second.
Any further discussion? Yes?
Just clarification, just because we've never come up against this. Say that we don't get anybody, then we kind of risk.
No, what happens is if we don't get anybody, Ms. Klein, then the mayor will bring their names forward again.
Okay.
I do have a question too. If we
into the mic, please.
At this point, then, we will be vacant. Those people will not be on the board, correct? Because their term have expired.
That is correct.
I think that's a slap in the face to the people that are on the board. They're willing to be on the board to do that and to go with a vacant.
Any other discussion?
Well, can we do these separate? I mean, can we do, you know, L and N, and then when it comes to X and W, can't we just vote on each one individually?
We are voting on each one individually.
Okay, I thought
No, Ms. Klein, we put those two together because it's Mr. Lindstrom's same question on both of them. They're both the same committee. They're both, he indicated, his question is the waiver.
They're not the same committee.
I'm sorry, his question is the waiver.
Is that correct, sir?
Yes, Bill.
If we want to change our policy on this, and make this our policy in the future, that's one thing. I wouldn't have a problem with that. But these people have already volunteered to put their name in, and I think if we want to implement this policy, this is almost like making it retroactive, and I don't think that's such a good idea.
Okay. Ms. Coronado?
Councilmember Lindstrom.
So an aye is for my proposal. Aye.
Mm-hmm. Councilmember Giacomino.
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins.
Nay.
Councilmember Johns.
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen.
Nay.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein.
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Nay. Motion passes 4-3. Next item is item W. Ms. Giacomino.
I think I would like to have it tabled until we can have more information as to the justification of the individual over the person who put their application in and was overturned. I just would like to know why one person was given preference over somebody who had been voted chairman a month before he put his application in and he was just disregarded. Again, is that not a slap in the face when you put your application in and you've been on the board and you receive a letter stating thank you for your service, but thanks. So I'd like to table it until our first February meeting, so we can get some more information as to why or how that decision was made.
The decision was made by me, and I don't.
It was made by you.
And I don't really need to provide an answer, nor will I.
Really, that's interesting. I kind of beg to differ with you on that, especially when you have someone out there that has served and as was brought up by John Skye.
May I suggest that we are off topic, that this is...
Well, I'm talking, you asked me about this and I asked to take...
No, you're discussing a different matter.
No, actually I'm not. I'm asking for information as to why, and it is in relationship to that reason. So I'm asking it to be tabled until the first meeting of February. I'm moving to have it tabled until the first meeting of February.
Second.
You have your answer now, but Ms. Coronado.
Councilmember Lindstrom.
Aye.
Councilmember Giacomino.
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins.
Nay.
Councilmember Johns.
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen.
Nay.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein.
Aye.
Mayor Smith.
Nay. Motion passes 4-3. Item number X.
All right, the application that Nanette Slusser turned in. Is Mrs. Slusser here tonight? I'd actually like to ask her a couple of questions if she's here.
She is not, her husband is.
Okay, well, if he'd like to come up, I can maybe ask him if he's willing, but if not...
Haven't we tabled this?
No, we tabled the last one, item W. This was item X. No, you're fine, Joan. This jumped out at me because when I looked at the application, her resume has her working for Pima County since 2002 full-time, but it has her living in Bisbee for the past 12 years. And I just wondered, how do you work full-time in Tucson and live full-time in Bisbee? And that's kind of what I wanted to ask her about. Is this like a telecommuting thing? Does she commute? Does she drive to Tucson and back every day? That's my question. But, you know, she's not here for me to ask. And so then there was a rumor going around that Mrs. Slessor is retiring, but when her office was called yesterday at Pima County, they said that she's very much still employed there and has not set a date for retirement. And today I checked with two county recorder's offices, and she is not registered to vote in Cochise County. She is registered to vote in Pima County. Now, according to, I've got it written down here, Arizona Revised Statute 16-101, an individual has only one residence for the purposes of the title registrant. And if she's registered to vote in Pima County and not registered to vote in Cochise County, then her voting address is definitely, it's not in this county, so it's not in Bisbee. And I think at the very least that we need to have a residency waiver attached to this application. And honestly, it's kind of disingenuous to say you've been living here for 12 years and not even registered to vote when you're registered to vote in another county. So I kind of have a problem with this application altogether. And, you know, the rumor about the retirement that we checked into that doesn't seem to be true. There just seems to be a lot of dishonesty here. And I don't even know if I want to table this, because I don't know that I want this kind of thing going on with a committee that I'm liaison to. So I know I'm only one of seven voices here, but I move that we don't approve this.
I second.
We have a motion. We have a second. Further discussion? Since Ms. Slessor is not here to answer these questions, then they will be going unanswered. Ms. Coronado.
Councilmember Lindstrom?
Aye.
Councilmember Giacomino?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Councilmember Johns?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion is passes 7-0. Please, audience. Item number 3, discussion of possible approval of resolution R-1902 to participate in the Census 2020 Complete Count Committee and to encourage every person to be counted. Robert Smith, City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. The census is coming up. The mechanism for counting people has changed. The city doesn't have a lot of staff to establish its own count committee, and the county has graciously established a committee and is in moving forward with training with the Census Bureau. So we have been offered the ability to participate in their committee for the complete count. There will be things that we receive training and instruction on how to do to ensure that we get a closer count, and the committee will help a lot with that. So this is us establishing a committee via the county's committee. Are there any questions?
What's the process? What's the process of counting? I mean, they just send us, like, is it like a mail ballot, or how does that work?
The census count this time around will be online. There will be no paper mailings.
Will there still be people out there going door to door for identifying people that don't have online capabilities?
I don't believe so. I don't think that they're sending out people door to door to knock on doors and tell people that. We've talked about installing some kiosks and helping our customers when they come in to make payments or ask questions or secure applications to encourage them to get online and be counted.
Yeah, it's really, really incumbent on all of us, if that's the case, to make sure that neighbors that don't have that capability gets registered. That's where our money comes from. Our tax situation, our highway user fees, everything is based on population. So we're hurting for certain if everybody's not counted. So just a heads up. Thank you. I'm sorry.
I have a question. Is this nationwide that this is the way the procedure is going to be, or does each state, county decide for how they're going to get those counts?
It's my understanding it's nationwide.
So we have no recourse to add to that?
I don't believe so.
We'll find out. We'll do some check. Yeah, Ms. Klein.
That really concerns me. We got too many people that don't have the capability to.
Well, quite honestly, every community does.
Well,
we certainly do, and we're watching out for us. That's the whole point. But nationwide, there's got to be something else in the works there, Ms. Klein.
I was just going to share the same concerns because we have quite a bit of our population that does not have internet access, and we have a lot of homebound that don't come in and, you know, pay their bills and things like that. And we need absolutely everybody counted. I wish there was another avenue that we could look into or something. That really concerns me.
Yeah, we can research this further. And yeah, Ms. Giacomino.
Options I've seen before, not necessarily for the census, but for other ways of counting people, are with iPad. So you have people,
do we have a motion on the resolution?
I move to approve resolution R-19-02, participate in the Census 2020 Complete Count Committee, and to encourage every person to be counted.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I second that.
Thank you. Ms. Coronado.
Councilmember Lindstrom?
Aye.
Councilmember Giacomino?
Aye.
Councilmember Higgins?
Aye.
Councilmember Johns?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Mayor Smith?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number four. Discussion of possible approval of the proposal from Conklin Electrical to install IT infrastructure in the Toverville building in the amount of $8,800.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm going to introduce the item and then ask Mr. Wallace to step up for some additional details. We have a very short period of time between now and when we are to exit this building. The framework for a computing network and a communication system needs to be installed in Toverville. The existing wiring that was left behind is not something that we can use. Our IT people have been through the building. We've come up with a plan. We've come up with a budget. And currently, we need a contractor to run conduit through the building and pull networking wires so that we can have drops in appropriate offices to provide phone and internet service to the workspace. The electrical contractor won't be making connections to any of the IT infrastructure. They will simply be stretching wire through the building. And I'd ask Dwayne to speak to the details of the contractor and the work.
Mr. Wallace?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. We have tried to do as much of this as we could on our own. I haven't ran electrical since forever, and I don't quite trust myself. Conklin Electrical, Todd Conklin, he was already on site doing the standard electrical work, switching on the outlets, and we thought it best to go ahead and ask him to provide us a price. He has really turned out to be a great addition in as far as public works in the city goes. He's been able to do a lot of work in a lot of different buildings for us. and I believe I'm completely confident in his abilities and his ability to get this done as quick as possible. He's willing to move some of his other work around to accommodate the city.
Questions?
Yeah, just a comment.
Yes, ma'am.
I am very pleased that we actually have a local contractor. And
can you speak into the microphone?
Sorry, I said I'm just really pleased that we're using a local contractor and one of our own kids that, you know, his heart is here, and it really pleases me. Thank you.
Good. Does it please you enough to make a motion?
It sure does. I move to approve the proposal from Conklin Electric to install IT infrastructure in the Toverville building in the amount of $8,800.
I second.
Thank you. We have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor signify by stating aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carried unanimously. Item number six, five, discussion of possible approval to paint the Toverville building in the amount not to exceed $2,500. Mr. Wallace, I assume?
Yes, sir. Dwayne can speak to the details of the request.
Thank you.
We have a small part of the building that needs to get painted, and internally we set a limit of how much to spend with one of the local contractors on that. I'm still working on, until the actual demo and construction is done, I don't have enough of a good idea. However, we believe that, you know, with some rough estimates from a few, that it will not exceed $2,500. And if it does, I'll finish the painting myself.
And might I ask that so far the people that have been asked about those amounts are all local people?
All local.
Thank you.
Yep.
I didn't think that if it was under 5,000, they had to come to the council.
If I might, there's a potential that one of the contractors who might get it has previously done some work at the building, and that would push us over the $5,000 limit with that person, and we don't want to run afoul of our city code.
We're only approving 25.
For this part. They just recently did some other work there for us, and we don't want to, the total amount, we're being very careful with our procurement code on this. It's too confusing.
I got a question.
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it.
Mr.
Is this, we're still talking about the juvenile detention center where we had a certain amount set aside, right? What was that total?
I believe we had $27,000 available to put towards rehabilitating the building.
So all of this is still within our $27,000?
It is.
Right. Any other questions? Since it's local, are you pleased enough for another motion?
I sure am.
Excellent.
I move to approve to paint the Toverville building in the amount of $2,500.
Up to
$2,500.
I'll second that. All those in favor of the motion in the amount of not to exceed $2,500 signify by stating aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carried unanimously. Item number six, discussion of possible approval of the proposal from Old Bisbee Enterprises for renovation at the Toverville building in the amount of $8,300. Mr. Smith?
Again, Mayor, this is an agreement that Mr. Wallace has been managing, and the content of the work is something that he's very familiar with.
Mr. Wallace?
The two buildings that we will be moving into, the one modular building needs an additional wall installed to split the offices, and then the actual juvenile detention facility needs some demo done. And again, I was doing this on the weekend, however, it got to the point that I don't have the time or the skill set, to be frank, to do it myself. So again, I spoke to a couple of local contractors, and Tyler Bradbury with Old Bisbee Enterprises promised that he can move some work around to get it done as quick as he can to help the city out. And he's another local contractor, local boy.
Any questions? Ms. Klein?
I move to approve the proposal from Old Bisbee Enterprises for renovation at the Toverville building in the amount of $8,300.
I second that. All those in favor of the motion signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carried unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Wallace. City Manager's Report, item number 7, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mayor. Within Public Works, Streets has finished a stair and a stem wall replacement on Tack Avenue, and we're preparing for major drainage repairs at Hereford Road in San Jose. You may have seen some postings and some pictures about that. Wastewater crews are preparing to begin a fire suppression extension on Laundry Hill. That's the fire hydrant that was in part of the decision-making process of Mr. Skye's project. We are a little bit behind on collecting yard debris, but we would like to try and catch up. We've been stretching forces, and we haven't gotten around to all of the pickups that we would have liked. We are entering Public Works work orders into C-Click-Fix now, and if you cruise through C-Click-Fix, you will also find code enforcement complaints and the administration of those complaints. Notes are available. I believe that we can copy you on our progress, or you can receive progress reporting via email if that's something that you would like. Speak to us and we can get you set up. The collections agency that we hired has collected over $10,000 from past due accounts in their first 2 months of collections. This would be on past due and bad debt that we have associated with the sewer fund. We've been through the RFP for banking services and selected a bank, and we'll be bringing a report to council in early February on that matter. The audit report is almost complete. We'll be making a presentation to council in mid-February on that matter. We have had some folks sign up for paperless billing on Express Bill Pay. If customers choose to pay cash or check, they can still go paperless by setting up an account online. This will cut down on the use of paper and reduce our postage costs for those people that are willing to participate. We have some applications received for accounting clerk, who was, it was a position added in the last budget. There are going to be a variety of efforts that that person does to help support the finance department. You'll see us moving towards that when we move to the new building. Budget prep will begin soon. We'll be using part of the Cassell financial software. It's a module that we've always had, but we've never used. So we'll be activating that and putting it to work. The tentative budget schedule for budget season will be out soon. Let's see. I'd say that the most recently, I think it was today or day before or yesterday, financial reporting went out with Carrie's comments. If you'd like to follow up with additional questions, we encourage you to do so directly with staff. Look for her report and comments to be available on the internet and on the city's website. HR has been reviewing Cochise Combined Trust for health insurance benefits. We have struggled for several years to remain competitive with the service that we have and the cost that's associated. We're shopping Cochise Combined Trust. They have met and agreed to support our application to join the trust should we do so, should council choose to go there. Dan, the HR director, is currently creating side-by-side comparisons and collecting employee feedback to bring to council during the budget process. We're engaging in better background checks now. The service that we had hired for background checks was not providing us with in-depth information that's actually needed for selecting personnel. So we've changed vendors, and we're actually changing our applications, the disclosure statements, the authorizations, and those background procedures to bring them in line with today's best practices. Excuse me. We are completing position analysis questionnaires and inventories for the compensation and classification plan and reaching out to Matt Weatherly for some assistive advice. We believe somewhere around 75 to 80% of this we will be able to tackle in-house with the training and the experience that Dan has. We've taken a little over 12 policy amendments to the Employee Council for feedback and recommendations. We'll be taking them to the Civil Service Commission in several weeks, and it will be brought to Council shortly after that. This will include the 6 policies the mayor requested earlier this year and some other recommendations that staff has come up with through the conduct of the year. We've created volunteer files and onboarding processes so that all volunteers go through HR before reporting to a department for service. There's background checks, identification we need to give to them, and some safety procedures we need to provide in terms of training for volunteers who are going to be doing work with the city. HR will be managing a lot of that, and we will be looking towards keeping track of the skill sets, the experience, and the types of work that volunteers like to do, so that when other projects come up in other areas of the city, we know who we can reach out to in that large group of volunteers for additional assistance. Dan's been building that system over the last several months. We're continuing online training, and we're rolling that out to current employees and new employees as part of their orientation. We're exploring resources to get assistance for code enforcement field work. Joe has been overwhelmed with a growing number of code enforcement issues. Our code requires fairly sophisticated and time-consuming processes that don't allow us to act immediately. I've been talking with Joe and the fire department. We're also looking at the FireWise concepts that are being launched in Old Bisbee to see if some of those FireWise approaches might be useful within our codes. With the county planner's help, we're beginning to address the needed code revisions in our zoning code, and we're addressing GIS mapping issues with the county planner's mapping help in the assessor's department and their GIS mapping system. Our hope is that our base maps parcels will be available to anyone online, and anyone would be able to drill in, look at a piece of property, find out who owns it, how much they paid in taxes, what it's zoned, and then be able to look online at our codes and determine what they could do with that property. We're expediting the move to Toberville, and we're accessing surplus and free furniture from APS and FMI. What we don't get for free from them, we'll be looking to supplement with U of A surplus. We're going to be doing some running around. Several of the department heads and I are going to rent a truck and, you know, go get some things. Responses are coming in for the tourism and marketing manager position, and we're having internal discussions ongoing about filling that and expediting timing there. We have been conducting interviews for the Public Works Director, and last week conducted 2 of those. An offer has been made, and we're waiting on a response from the person that we offered the position to. We're meeting with volunteers to explore grant application opportunities for fire, police department, and infrastructure repair, as well as hazard mitigation activities that we would be working on with FEMA. As we develop applications and concepts, we'll come forward to Council for guidance and authorization. We're continuing to work to establish affordable housing and housing rehab projects in Bisbee, with Habitat for Humanity now securing a board in Cochise County for their operation. And with the Department of Housing's help, we're hopeful that we can launch an affordable housing project that would construct new housing for people and help supplement the cost so that it's affordable. And we're hopeful to create a housing rehabilitation program where it's kind of like what Step Up Bisbee does, but on steroids. And we'd be securing, I think it's now $280,000 a year from the state to put towards that effort. Our goal would be to staff as much of that effort with volunteers as possible, so as much of the money can go to bricks and mortar repairs as possible. I'm in discussions with county planning the county manager and other organizations to see if it's possible to create these projects so that they could be replicated in other cities across Cochise County and be in part supported by the county. Let's see, we're continuing with permit fees. I wanted to provide some details there. Our permit fees are slightly up over 2017, but not up as much as you might think. Permit fees in total collected this calendar year from January 2018 to December 2018 was almost $83,000. That $83,000 in permit revenue created about $6.4 million in additional valuation to our tax base. Now, last year, we received $82,000 in permit fees, but we only created $3.9 million in added valuation to the tax base. And that's largely because we had two major projects that were commercial in nature, one in August and one in October, that dramatically increased the revenues that we got on fees and the taxable valuation that was created. With that, that would be the end of my report.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Ms. Giacomino.
Since the beginning of the wastewater negotiations with Jacobs, I have found that the lack of interest by those involved at listening to the community's concerns disturbing, to say the least. Considering the amount of money our city will be in debt for this contract amazes me that it was not bonded out and the people given the opportunity to vote on it. Time and time again, people voice their concerns, yet they seem to fall on deaf ears. Are the people of Bisbee not entitled to have a say in what affects them financially for the next 20 years? Then at the last meeting, my concerns were further reinforced when the discussion of a petition objection to outsourcing the operation and maintenance of the wastewater plant was dismissed with no discussion. This was placed on the agenda for discussion and possible direction, yet this did not occur. Since when can an item be placed on an agenda for discussion and one person decide we're not going to discuss it? Reasons? Again, only reinforcing those concerns that the people of our town have no say in their future. Sometimes it's very beneficial to hear people out. Not only can you get a different view of the issues, but sometimes you may be enlightened to information you overlooked. The Jacobs contract is for a very large sum for a very long 5 years. It was signed by the mayor and, to my understanding, is now active. During the holiday, I was preparing for last week's meeting, gathering information, trying to be objective rather than subjective in my opinions. I read all the minutes from January 18th through December 18th, but had an interesting enlightenment on one particular set of minutes. As I was reading the special meeting minutes for November 20th regarding the approval of Jacobs' contract, I came across a very stunning find. I asked myself, how could I have missed this? How could the public have missed this? How could the mayor, council, city manager, and especially legal counsel miss this? I know I missed it because I was furious at the blatant disregard for public opinion. In my opinion, I think the lame duck council that motioned missed it because of the fact they were going to be responsible for pushing through the Jacobs contract. What I can't understand is how the mayor, city manager, and legal missed it. So I'm sure you're wondering what I'm talking about. Again, mind you, a contract for 5 years was signed, indenturing the city of Bisbee to Jacobs for so much money. Well, to use a regularly misquoted phrase from 1907, Houston, we've got a problem. Let me read you the minutes. Motion. Councilmember Dunn moved to approve the agreement between Jacobs and the City of Bisbee for operational services of the City of Bisbee Wastewater Treatment Plant contract in the amount of $731,000 for a 12-month operation. One would think that all the T's would be crossed and all the I's dotted, but being the naive council member that some people think I am, what do I know? I do know this. You can see the contract is null and void, because only a 12-month contract was approved by council. Jacobs is possibly working for the city without a legal contract. Contrary to popular belief, this is not a quick fix. And just because you wanted a 5-year contract, your lame duck council dropped the ball. I would like to think the city will be contacting Jacobs immediately, letting them know of the snafu. I am asking you, Mayor Smith, to instruct the city manager to research this discrepancy with legal counsel and put this matter on our next agenda for discussion and possible action. If necessary, bring in other legal counsel with contract expertise to assist. I will be contacting the League of City and Towns, requesting information on this particular dilemma. No matter what, at this time, there is no legal contract. And another concern is the fact that the contract that was not approved was signed. Since the council did not approve this contract, it doesn't make the individual who signed it responsible for the debt incurred.
Thank you, Ms. Giacomino. Mr. Higgins?
I move that we adjourn. Sure.
Thank you. I'll second that. All those in favor of adjournment signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carried unanimously.
I will check the audio.